Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun, dun.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by, of course, the lowly. You know what? This time,
very good.
Just lowly, Bailiff Jake.
All right.
Wow.
Just one lowly?
Just one lowly.
Well, it was like four or five lowlies.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
All right,
great.
Yeah. But normally I do nine or ten.
It hurts worse hearing it like that because it makes it less of a bit and just more of an insult.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you do go to the DMV and change your name every time, right?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So now I have six middle names, which is an improvement.
That's really the punishment. Maybe we should just adapt
still
that.
Still not an organ donor, though, right?
Not me. Never. No one's getting these lowly organs.
You can pry my liver from my cold dead. Wait, no, you can't. I'm keeping them. Bury me
with
them.
Oh, no. His lowly lower intestines. They've been ruined.
Hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding.
Hi.
And our first case comes from... Did you just say hello?
Charmed.
Hi. Well, hi. Murph gave a tiny
hi. I gave a tiny hi and Em made it a thing. She made it a thing.
That's the decorum of a courtroom. Yeah. Everyone rises, robed figures walk in, and they give
just a little...
A weak little hi.
And whichever judge is the one who DMs for the rest of them... Like, everyone kind of follows their lead.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. And you got to, like, stretch it out so that the last hey comes when you're least expecting it.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
So much gravitas just undone with a word.
Yeah. Continue. Okay. Hey.
Faraha writes, hey, most noble crit justices, and also the bailiff whose name and description will be chosen by Murph right now. I think we're going six lowlies this
just
episode.
Just six lowlies, uh-huh. Yeah.
I bring you the case of the selective shatter, may it please the court. In a campaign with a party of all orcs, I play an orc cleric who hands out pamphlets written in orcish to convert people to the religion of Kord. We're fighting a group of orcs from the army we defected from, and one of my party members got surrounded by multiple enemies and went down. On my turn, I asked the DM if my party member had gone unconscious and had fallen to the ground, to which she replied, yes. I said that I wanted to cast Shatter at a point above the group so that it would only hit the standing enemies and not my prone party member. She did not want to allow me to do it with that level of accuracy, and after some lighthearted back and forth, she agreed to let me do it just this once, but said in any future combat, I would hit my downed party member and give them -1 death save. I humbly asked the court, did I use the spell correctly and should I have been allowed to keep creative freedom with my rad radiuses, or was my DM correct and I was indeed committing a geometric grievance?
Okay, let's look up Shatter here. So Shatter says, a sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius sphere centered on that point must make a constitution saving throw, and then you do your damage from there. So it is, I mean, it's kind of there plainly in writing. You pick a point that creates a 10-foot radius sphere, so you can just pick it higher than the unconscious player who is down low.
Yeah.
You've literally hit the deck.
Okay, so this gets tricky, though, because if it's a 10-foot sphere, the radius is 10 feet.
Uh-huh.
You have to dip the sphere into the ears of the people that are standing above the fallen person, right? So you're centering the point like above them, but like just low enough that it's going to touch their ears, but the sphere isn't going to be low enough to touch the person that's
unconscious. You describe that in such a complicated way. It's just the person on the ground.
You just wanted to say sphere and ear.
I don't know what's wrong. Was that a bit?
It was perfectly clear. You have to dip the sphere to the ears.
Okay, we're just rhyming.
It has to be a bit.
That was
it
a
has
bit.
To be a bit.
Got it. God, that was a complicated bit.
I wish
bit.
It was a bit. I'm sorry.
Okay, it wasn't a bit.
It wasn't a bit.
Yeah, okay. We're doing Dr. Seuss. I see that. But no. I think that's like overcomplicating it. Saying like hitting the ear. Like it's just... One person's on the ground, they're laying down, so it doesn't hit if the sphere is a foot higher, right?
Exactly.
A sphere, though, okay, just to follow. We keep talking about the picture of the sphere. Because Caldwell and I share, what's the internet saying? We share a brain.
One brain cell?
We share a brain cell.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow Caldwell here.
Why?
And say, if you picked, let's say you picked a spot 5 feet in the air, 10 feet in the air, would a sphere have a spherical shape, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if somebody's standing...
But if you're on the ground, it doesn't matter.
Someone on the outskirts. Okay. Oh, wait.
Yeah, it's not...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're not debating whether or not the person on the ground could have escaped...
That person's in the clear in the sphere.
Yes,
could have
clear.
Escaped the spear-like shatter.
Okay.
The spear-like sphere of the shatter.
Okay.
We're... the Shatir. I think all we're saying is that there might be some people on the outskirts that were... also saved by the
bottom point. Okay, let's stop saying sphere because we're somehow getting very confused. Imagine, if you will, a basketball, okay? It's just a fucking basketball. The wide end of the basketball doesn't dip lower than the bottom part.
Okay, let's follow your basketball metaphor, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. We're following the basketball metaphor. I
regret bringing a basketball
metaphor. Okay, now imagine imagine there was Jell-O that I wanted to display.
Why? Well, no, I'm more stuff.
It's a basketball.
You
it's
haven't
orange
even
Jell-O.
Given me a chance.
Okay,
to
okay,
do.
Go ahead. Okay.
Imagine there's a tray of Jell-O that I want to fuck up with this basketball,
great.
Right?
Yeah, cool. Uh-huh.
The basketball, its radius, right, is it only reaches its full width at one specific point of the basketball.
Totally, yeah.
It gets skinny at the other ends of it.
Wait, because of the curvature.
It gets
the ball.
Okay, so like. Okay, but. My point is,
if I bounced a basketball, I could bounce a basketball. No, no, no. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is important.
Murph, can you let Emily speak? Murph, try to pay attention because Emily's making a point, and I think she offers you the same level of respect.
So far away from the game.
Well, like, much like a basketball, I passed to Emily and then she slam dunk.
So this is so important and really and really well.
Okay.
Emily, take your time. Take your time with it.
So there's a tray of Jell-O.
Really well thought out.
A tray of Jell-O.
A square tray of Jell-O. Okay.
It's gotta be square. Mm-hmm.
If I were to bounce
Not what this player's doing, go
if
off.
If I were to bounce
fuck up that gelatin.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
You would fuck up the gelatin, true?
Right,
Emily, take your time.
But what?
See,
I don't even know that you know the point you're trying to make.
Let's let her finish.
Excuse
you're
me.
Saying you'll be
Excuse
most
me,
fucked up
I'm
like in the
middle.
I'm
crying because science brings me to tears.
Okay, right. Science is fucking
definitely,
awesome.
This is definitely science.
So beautiful the way that math and science work. It's so beautiful.
Oh, God.
If I were
it's more
to,
than just numbers.
If I were to just, if I had laser-like precision and I bounced it right to the center of that square tray, then there are parts that would not get messed up by it.
Okay.
Bravo.
Some folks.
Bravo.
Okay. Well done. What? Well done.
Anyways, for anyone who's at home listening to this, being like, wow, I thought Emily was a big dumb idiot. Like, it's okay to admit you were wrong. Like, because right now you're grappling with my preconceived ideas about this woman have changed.
Dr. Emily Axford, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just got a PhD.
Okay.
Actually, if I could just like interrupt for a second, I did just receive word that you are this year's recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
Thank you.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Much. Yeah.
The thing.
I had to say when I
and I love
started my
wait wait hold on she's doing an acceptance speech.
Okay, I'm sorry.
She's giving an acceptance speech.
Okay.
You don't just hand somebody a Nobel Peace Prize and then they just like walk off. You know they have to accept.
Okay. And give the speech.
I have to say.
Go ahead.
This was unexpected.
Uh huh.
But not unprecedented. If there's,
bravo! If you're there's, here!
There's one thing I can say about being a really smart person who also promotes peace. It's that I was not able to do this alone. No, in fact, all of my geniusness and peace promoting comes from my husband, Brian Murphy.
Wow, bet you weren't expecting that when you tried to interrupt it, Merv.
Without whom, wow, I could have never come up with the theory of bouncing a basketball and cello.
Really thank good. You. I don't know that I necessarily have
also,
that
also, I hope this is a cash prize. Okay. Thank you.
Now you are allowed to make a speech as well.
I have to make a speech?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm up on stage. Hi, I just wanted to kind of bring it back to the case because the case didn't really say anything about bouncing a basketball or anything. We got
Murph, you're losing
we
the
just
audience.
Got super far into the ball thing.
I've never seen anyone boo at a Nobel Peace Prize speech, but it's about to happen.
I'm sorry. It's just that it's the sphere, right? So you just have the sphere a little bit higher, which is what the player did, and the player's right, everyone. Please
yeah,
stop booing
I
me.
I think I agree with that.
Please stop booing me.
Murph, you got the Nobel War Prize.
Oh, no. For starting a war.
That's like the Wario to the Mario yeah. of the Nobel Peace Prize.
Okay. So I tried to follow Caldwell's line of reasoning and made it so much worse. But I think that we should still yes. adjudicate this case.
Correct.
I personally think that you could keep that person safe on the ground.
Of yeah. course. Yeah, yeah.
We're all
yeah.
in agreement
it's,
there.
Yeah, you literally like it's something's coming at you, you duck. Mm-hmm. You hit the deck. If a person's on the ground, there's even I believe if you're shooting at somebody with an arrow in D&D, there are mechanics for you usually get advantage when you're using a melee weapon. I believe you might get disadvantage if you're using a bow.
I would say this is also specifically based off of the wording of the spell. So for example, you couldn't throw a fireball and be like, no, I threw it 10 feet above them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can do that. Maybe
I think you probably could. Yeah.
You could.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't see
so
why
maybe
not.
Maybe you could. So maybe you could. But yeah. I'm saying that when I haven't read Fireball in a long time, but when I read this, being able to choose that point means you can be
point.
Strategically
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
exclusive.
It says specifically on Fireball, it says, imagine if you will that there was a plate of orange jello under the fireball. Depending on how much you want to singe the jello, depends
I mean,
on
the
how
fireball
high.
Would fuck up that jello.
It would fuck
let's
it up.
Be honest.
Yeah, it would just
is
melt.
Jello even flammable?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would just melt, right?
Does that mean it's flammable?
See, I'm just way too distracted picturing somebody using an actual basketball for their spells when they play with the tabletop next time.
Yeah, I mean, think about like if you use like a battle grid or something like that, you can definitely be like, oh, my dude is surrounded here, but I want to shoot something, an area of effect thing. So yeah. I'll do it like a square behind them. So it just hits these people.
Yeah.
And there's
yeah.
usually like a cost that comes with that where like maybe you don't get everybody that you want to get, but you get most of the people.
But let's look at Fireball though. If this person said they're prone and the other people are standing up, I want to throw a fireball and miss the person prone, I would bet that the language of Fireball wouldn't allow you to do that.
I think
whereas I think the language of this does allow you to do
it. I think it depends. I think it literally depends on what it is. So a sphere would mean in all directions because it's a sphere. So it's like, you know, it's not a flat thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think maybe a fireball, I don't have it right in front of me, but like depending on what the radius is, it could need to be like on a singular level.
Mm-hmm. It is a 20-foot radius sphere, so it is also sphere rules. So yeah,
you can
play
rules.
It that way too.
You put that sphere wherever you want.
These are both totally above the board, but still in jello.
Wait yeah. a second. Is the sphere uh-huh. of it, is it a flat sphere?
That's a disc. You're thinking of a frisbee, not a basketball.
I was picturing
it. What's a flat sphere? What do you mean by a flat sphere?
Are you thinking
sphere?
About a spheroid?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know these words.
None of us know anything.
Yeah. All right, I guess I'm just going to shut up for the rest of this episode.
No one shut up.
No, we're all smart and good. We're all prize winners yeah. now.
Okay.
We're all Rhodes Scholars.
Can I suggest a punishment, though?
Yeah.
For who?
For the DM, right?
I guess for the DM. For
right, the DM is incorrect, yes.
Yeah, normally to promote like good dice rolls, we suggest pickling them.
Uh-huh.
That's what Dice Christ wants. Mm-hmm. But the opposite of that, jello those days
is of course to mm-hmm. cook them in jello.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. Be so careful and don't accidentally eat it.
Yeah, don't yeah. eat your jello.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Or don't eat your dice rather.
It's a jello mold. It's just decorative. Take yeah. a photo. Do not eat it.
That's take, yeah, safe yeah. To
say. Take you can maybe well, the D4 is the smallest one, but it's pointy.
That's the
so
sharpest.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm saying yeah. yeah. No, none of those are good.
If
to
you're
eat.
Gonna eat one, eat a D6.
You think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? No, D20.
I think we need the lawyer to come in again and say D20. NADPOD does
we
not.
Said we NADPOD does not allow, does not suggest anyone actually eat a D20.
But if you're going
to
eat one.
But if you had
one,
to.
Yeah.
But if you had
but
to.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
If you had
D12.
To.
I think D20. It's a little sharp.
Buddy, there's only one way to solve this.
Let's do it.
Oh my God.
All right. Don't eat any dice. Mm-hmm. No one eat any dice at all.
Yeah.
If you've already put it in your mouth, spit it out, okay?
Spit it out.
Don't
spit
swallow it.
We are holding out our metaphorical hand like you're a dog who got into something that they shouldn't have.
Drop it.
Saying, bad boy, drop it.
Bad boy, drop it.
But yes, we are going to need you to go ahead and jello your dice.
Yeah,
DM, jello your dice.
We are on the player's side here. You can move that sphere to a point. You
Make it one of those really funky 1950s jellos that's got like slices of ham baked into it, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What?
Pineapples. God. On top.
All right. What? Now that's actually a punishment.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So gross.
Yeah, they used to get real creative with Jell-O in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else to do.
Yeah, just make Jell-O.
Okay, whoa. Our next case comes from Mateo C. Mateo writes, "May it please everyone, but especially Murph, who I hope is doing well."
Whoa!
So shout out to you.
I mean, his wife just won the Nobel Prize.
Glad tidings.
Which is interesting because a lot of people were mad at me last week with the Patreon episode about, two weeks ago, the last D&D core, because there was a player character named Sex Panther, which is a reference to Anchorman, and I had the gall to make fun of quoting Anchorman 20 years later, and man, the Anchorman stands came out.
The Anchor stands. Wow.
The Anchor stands are out. I'm a hater. I don't know what to say.
I didn't even think you went at it that hard. You were like, it's a good movie. It's not as good as everyone thinks.
Murph, I really relate to this because when I went after water, water has a lot of fans.
Well, I think I like water more than I like quoting Anchorman.
Well, still an opinion.
I think that's the thing about the... It's not even anchor stands. It's anchor quote stands. Because I didn't say anything bad about the movie Anchorman. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it in 15 years. I'm sure it's fine. Again, so I can't talk about this. I'm going to get in trouble.
Mateo C. was asking, who says, "I hope you're doing well, Murph." It seems like you're not.
I'm not. I'm spiraling because I don't know what... If people are going to get mad at making fun of quoting Anchorman, what can I say? I don't know.
Okay, probably asking after you because they went at you super hard in the comments.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
I think your only option is to just like forget about them and get back on the good side of the water stands.
Yeah.
Don't weaponize my haters against me, Murph. Just because you're shaken. You've got the water stands. Water stands against
me. The water stands, and I've got the anchor stand.
Okay, Jake, please continue. I want to know the question so that I can drop more scientific facts.
Yes.
Should we rebrand as an educational podcast?
Yes.
I love it, yeah.
I can change the tags pretty easily.
I want to get this flagged. By like the CDC.
We're the only educational podcast with expletives.
Yeah.
That has to be just us. I come to you with the case of the forced name change. We are starting a new campaign, and one of my players has come to me with the character name Like, L-Y-K-E, after his grandmother's surname.
Okay.
I didn't think much of it, but we quickly ran into a small problem.
Mm.
Being a native Los Angelino, my filler word is Like, pronounced the exact same way. So we have run into scenarios where I say, "So Like, you go like down to the bar and you see this girl who has like this big hat with feathers." I asked him to change his name, and he says I am railroading his creative choice.
Oh, damn.
Your honors, should I make Like change his name, or do I have to like just deal with it?
As someone who says Like a lot, I do agree that this is tough.
Why not just come up with a nickname? Like, the character's name is Like, but you have like a special way that, you know, like, you could call him L or...
Yeah, or Lick.
Or like, I don't know. You come up with something to call the character that is outside of it, right? Like Calliope is Callie, Calliope.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Saul is Swag Daniels.
Often. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
As you play, there's so many opportunities to call somebody something else.
It's also a good way to like get a rise from a character in game, is to like call them by another name or something like that.
But I think that they want to be called by their... It was their grandmother's maiden name?
Their grandmother's surname.
Their grandmother's surname.
That complicates things.
Look, if they're the ones who are getting confused, then it's like they're on board for that, right?
And yeah. And but maybe there's not even any confusion. Maybe it's just making you in your head.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a problem that doesn't even need to be solved.
I will say I don't like the attitude upon this request being thrown back in their face by saying you're railroading my name.
You're railroading. Choice. Yeah, I hate it when railroad is
there's
you.
Some real strange talk in and the TTRPG. And it's also,
you know what? You know what? I hate the slander of railroads in general. Like trains, really cool. Love a train.
Totally.
Whoa.
Every time I see that freaking Pacific Surfliner just rolling by on those rails, heading up to Santa Barb, love to see
that. Love a choo-choo.
Dude, yeah.
You know I'm a choo-choo head.
I'm watching train videos every morning, folks.
Okay, I have a suggestion. The character's name is Like. Mm-hmm. Just be like, cool. Can we keep it Like? Can you give me what your character's surname is so I can say Mr., Mrs., whatever you, however you want to be referred to, and then the surname. But also maybe even ask them, like, is it even confusing them or is it just putting you in your head?
Yeah, because it does seem like the sort of thing that, like, I'm doing it right now, the people at the table would kind of laugh out a little bit. It's kind of slightly funny and it's maybe just like a recurring joke that's throwing you off your game a little bit, but I don't know if it's actually messing with anyone.
I have bad advice.
Oh great,
you have bad advice.
You go to the other player characters and you say, hey, I'm struggling with the fact that I say like conversationally. It's sort of like a word lubricant. I enjoy it. I'm not trying to lose it. I'm not buying into some weird grammatical superiority against it.
Yeah,
I am struggling with the fact that this character's name is Like. Can the rest of you try and come up with a nickname? Next time that Like does something noticeable, be like, ha ha, you're fish guy now. And then you just think it's so funny. You run with it and then they're fish guy.
They're going to get accused of railroading Likes creative.
I know. I said it was a bad suggestion as I started it.
I do like it though.
Yeah.
It's just a word you say a lot is the problem.
It's interesting because I feel like I think the DM is facing the same problem that I'm having internally in my head right now, which is like it's this minefield where the player wants to be named after their grandma's name. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, is this very important to them? Did their grandparent pass away? Do they have a strong connection to their grandparent? Is this actually important to them? So I'm kind of like, I don't know how to say, don't do that. You know what I mean? It just feels like a weird, it's hard to just be like, don't name your character after your grandma. You're not allowed.
Yeah.
And yet I do understand why it is hard to do.
I mean, we've all edited podcasts before. You hear yourself say the word like so many times.
Like so fucking
Okay, yeah. Because I think that ultimately the path forward is going to be learning to how to work with like, let's brainstorm alt conversational lubricant.
I love this.
Sort of, kind of, in essence.
Right.
In essence, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what's a good one is fucking. I feel like that's always somebody's fucking doing this thing and they're fucking on.
So that's great. So accommodate this character by changing your vernacular to say.
It's fucking.
You guys are just fucking.
In essence.
There's a girl over there. She's wearing fucking hats.
Fucking kinda.
You're at this tavern and in essence fucking.
There's a fucking monster and he's fucking.
In essence, he has a cloak on.
Fucking, and he's swinging it at fucking you.
In essence,
essentially,
fucking. In essence, there's a note with it. In essence, fucking. What do you do? What you do?
Yeah,
what do you guys do.
So this is great. I think we have our answer.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah.
It's kind of an answer and a punishment because this DM is going to be punished to lose like and
replace like with fucking and in essence.
I think I don't want
to. You're losing like from your vocabulary, even though I think it's a perfectly fine thing to have in there. But for the sake of this, you are going to train yourself to say fucking and in essence in the time
that you would have said like. Yeah, as somebody who says like a lot and has edited themselves and realized how often they say like, I do very much feel for you. I do think that, and you know, maybe people at home will have more time and think differently, but I think I personally don't see how you get around letting someone name themselves after their grandma. I don't. Yeah. I think they unfortunately pulled the landmine out from under you, and I don't know how you get around that.
I don't know how you get around it either.
Yeah, because just what do you do?
They kind of pulled two trump cards on you. They're like, it's my grandma and you're railroading me.
Well, no, railroading me is not a trump card. Railroading is them cheating to try to win an argument.
Yeah. Yes. But
we're going to ignore that and just focus on like, maybe.
Leave the gamers out of this.
I think that ultimately it's maybe throwing you off, but I think if you just kind of, first off, in essence, fucking, that's your new kind of thing.
That's your new thing.
Comparatively presently as is.
And hey, consider asking the other PCs or looking for a moment where you can just really impose a nickname.
A new nickname, yeah.
A nickname, that, just a real sticky one.
Keep an eye out.
The next time they eat something, just have an NPC be like, wow, this guy loves the fucking
stew. What's up?
This guy loves the stew. Hey, stew.
He doesn't just like it. He loves it.
He's loving it. But I think in all seriousness, you are probably thinking about this obviously more than they are.
Yeah, probably.
They would be the one if you're describing something and you're like, you guys go into this like tavern and like, and their alarm bells are going off and they're thinking that they're being called on. Uh-huh. That's kind of their thing to navigate.
But they didn't bring it up. You brought it up because you're hearing yourself. You're second guessing yourself.
I think you're good to go. Yeah, I think unfortunately you can't stop someone from naming themselves after their grandma. That's probably an argument you don't want to have. Uh-huh.
So we punish you to change the entire way that you speak and have spoken for your entire life.
Yes. Yeah. In essence, fucking.
I hope you're not a kindergarten teacher.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, in essence, fucking, you are going to have to say fucking.
All right. No, so that is, in essence, fucking ordered.
Let's all, for the rest of the episode, try to say, in essence, fucking, instead of like.
We should practice what we punish.
Okay.
All right. Benjamin L. writes, hello to the honorable judges, and I guess Jake is also there. Yes, I am. My party and I ended a war between Deep Gnomes and Dwarger, and we decided to stay in the town to make sure that the peace stayed. Our paladin decided to set up a church to their god, and I agreed to help. When it came time to level up, my DM said that I could only take a level of paladin because I had joined a church. I talked to the DM about not wanting to do this, but he said that I had spent more time in the church than in nature, so I had to take a paladin level, not a druid level.
My druid
did not want to do that, so I ended up quitting because of this. Was I in the wrong? P.S. Love the show. Just got a pawpaw tattoo. Shout out to Benjamin.
I can't punish you now.
The drop in the end that you are also a druid is so funny. You're already committed to it.
But also the fact that you got a pawpaw tattoo. What if we went absolutely went off on you?
I needed to say it up front.
We're on this DM side. You gotta be a cleric.
Yeah. Go back to the tattoo artist.
Back to the
get
table.
A little speech bubble that says, I suck.
Have it say, I love Pelor on it. Because that's your new god.
It also makes me think of like, I studied religion undergrad, and the idea that I have 4 years of religious studies means that I have four levels of paladin.
You can smite though.
I think this would
be a fun thing if the DM only offered it as a fun thing. Mm-hmm. Was like, hey,
you have to.
You could take a level, and hey, you have been spending a lot of time at this new church. You could maybe take a cleric or paladin level. That might be kind of fun. And then that leaves it in your hands to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Why some DMs insist on making fun things not fun is so baffling to me.
Was cleric on the table, or was it hard paladin?
Hard paladin.
Hard paladin. Okay.
Hard paladin. Yeah,
it's really strange. It's just strange stuff.
Also, like helping someone set up their church seems like a nice interfaith thing to do.
What did the DM want? You to say no and you go out into the woods?
Yeah, you just helped on that sculpture. So now this is your god.
Listen,
yeah.
You were being party focused instead of going off into the woods by yourself. So you don't get to play anymore.
Listen, your tomato garden looks like shit.
Yeah, you just forgot how to talk to animals.
If you sincerely took that, though, it would be so funny to take that and then, but like, have your character just be like as baffled as you. So the first time you smite, you're like, whoa, what the fuck was that?
I'm a freaking bear shapeshifter that
I set up one church
smite.
And now I have fucking holy fire coming out of my shillelagh. I
mean, if that's all it took, then yeah. I went to church a lot as a kid. I can't smite for shit.
Yeah, that's again, just there's a lot of DMs out there that just have like fun ideas and then try to force people to do their fun ideas. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Do we think this is a case of, you know, how some people, they call themselves forever DMs, and so they want to have more PCs, and do they meddle in people's PCs? I actually don't think that they do meddle in people's PCs.
I think it's the idea that this DM had an initially cool idea, which is, whoa, they've been around this religion now. They could potentially do this. And instead of offering that as an option, they forced the player to do it, which is a bad idea.
Paladin Druid is such a funny
guy. Their inner monologue is like, oh, that's a cool idea. That's actually a really cool idea. That's actually the only idea.
Let's say, yeah, exactly. So in like campaign one, if while you guys were in Gladeholm or something like that, if Hardone was really spending a lot of time at the university and I was like, Hardone, you could switch to like Eldritch Knight if you wanted to and like learn a couple spells. And you might think that's cool and you might not think that's cool. And either way, that's fine. But this would be like me being like, you actually have to change your subclass from champion to...
You were in a library for too long, dude.
Yeah. You were in a library too long, now. You fucking moron. You're smart now.
I also can't help but just like picture a real classic druid just with heavy armor forced upon them.
Yeah. Here you go.
I do wonder, most generous read possible, maybe the DM... like had some plan in place in essence of fucking for this character.
I guess.
And they wanted to connect it to a god, maybe. So they wanted them to like get that paladin level so that they could like, so that they could fucking, you know, almost kind of like sort of perceivably get them into a position where they were talking with a god more.
I think in essence, fucking, they thought they had a good idea for the story and then forced it into a character's mechanic.
Okay, so this could be fucking a solution. Is this person could in essence go to their DM and be like, hey, sorry, be fucking in essence sort of like...
Sort of fucking in essence.
Kind of, you know, ergo.
Ergo. Hey, do you have a reason?
Yeah, that you want this so bad.
A reason in the future that... do you have something that you're trying to set up that me taking this paladin level means something?
It also, I mean, I guess the DM's probably...
Oh, why do you want me to do this?
The DM's probably just being a hard ass. I think this is either DM had a story idea and wants to put the story idea into the character's mechanics even if they don't
it's
want
probably
it.
Probably not.
That's
the case. Caldwell gave that generous read and I got swept up in the generous read.
Yeah, we're closing the generous
read.
We're
going to the generous
read. I think the generous read even then is stupid. Like, it's even a bad idea. It's marginally better than what I think it might actually be, which is just hard ass DM. Like, we get people in that'll say, me and my wife had a baby, and so we missed the session on the day of the delivery. We missed the session with our DM, and he said we didn't get to level up because we missed one session. Yeah. We get cases like that where it's very obvious that the DM's just being a hard ass for no reason. So you either got a hard ass DM, or you've got a DM that is actually railroading you.
Not to say that, see, that's the thing, is that I was thinking, well, you know, if you really are feeling that your DM wants this, maybe you could explore it and look into cleric, because cleric and druid, wisdom is your main thing. Like, there could be some compatibility there. I agree with you. Story-wise, it really doesn't
make any
sense.
It doesn't make any sense. The player, I mean, the player already got out. The player quit, which is great.
We you made the right call.
We always say, get new friends. And I think you've done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have to punish the DM.
We have to punish the DM.
Yeah. Do they have to build a church?
Okay.
Oh, they have to build a church in honor of the PC that left.
That's mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I guess, I mean, like, it would, because they were a druid, so maybe it'd be more of like a community garden.
Yeah. Oh. Start a commune.
That's good.
Oh, that's good.
Not a cult, just a commune.
Do you wear matching clothes?
Yes. Sometimes.
Do you grow corn?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you allowed to leave? You ask the boss.
Fucking ordered. Our next case comes from Tristan B. Tristan writes, "May it please the justices and gently tickle the bailiff. Thank you."
Ooh.
All right, all right. Where are you most ticklish, bailiff?
Let's not get into it. Okay. I present...
Okay, that is a little too informative, right?
Yeah.
Even just putting up that blur lets us know a couple regions it probably is. Yeah.
There's a nuclear zone.
And for that reason, I will answer. It's under the arms, okay?
So it is like a fetish thing, then.
No, it's not a fetish.
The fact that you hit it.
Let's just cut, okay, edit, splice happen, in Jake? Me saying, I need a good reaction, me saying, oh, it's under my arms. And then you guys just kind of light
laugh. Okay, so we'll hold on, we'll go quiet and you get that.
Yeah, let's get that clean so it doesn't
I'll lead him in again.
Like it's a fetish.
Yeah. What's like the non-sexual area that, like, if you got tickled, it would make you laugh normally?
My fucking grundle, dude.
Okay, Jake, I gotta be honest, you messed that one up. Yeah. You didn't get what you wanted.
Yeah. Can I take that again? Wanted. I feel like I said grundle instead of underarms.
Yeah.
So you did, Jake. Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Did I say I said grundle? Because I was like, I think
you said
I lost myself.
Fucking grundle, yeah. And you said it in sort of a pervy voice. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel like I lost it because I was like, I just answered truthfully, but I want to make sure that out there people are hearing under my arm.
Yeah. And why don't you team up this time?
Okay, yeah. Oh, bailiff. So, just a fun side question. What is the non-erogenous part of your body in which you are the most ticklish?
Mm-hmm. My freaking gooch, man. Shit, did I say? I feel like I might have misspoken.
Really there was like a almost like your eyes rolled back at your head and a different voice came out.
And we also said non-erogenous and then you didn't say your armpits, which exactly you do sexually enjoy having your armpits tickled.
Yeah, you still have yet to say armpits successfully.
Let's try to, you want to just get it one time super quick?
Yeah.
Nice and clean.
Hey, Jake. If you were to get tickled in...
Oh, I love to get tickled on my freaking taint, dude. I fucking love it.
We got it.
All right. I think one of those three will work.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's
one of those three will definitely work.
You get yourself cleaned up and we'll get back to it.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layouts and easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. With Squarespace, you can make a place to upload videos or sell content or memberships, courses, music, ebooks, or if you're a small business, you can easily manage your clients and invoices in one streamlined, customizable workflow. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly, folks. Their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options, and also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody. I present the case of the DM versus the overpowered bear. I am playing a 5e campaign with a group of close friends over Roll20. During combat last session, our level 5 bear folk moon druid was knocked out of wild shape. When I asked for the AC of his druid form for the villain's second attack, he said it was a 20. This confused everyone, and when we asked what armor he had on, he stated leather. Curious of how he had such a high AC, I took a peek at his character sheet. His stats were as follows: charisma 17, wisdom 20, intelligence 17, con 23, dex 26, strength 24.
Con 23?
Con 23, dex 26, strength 24.
26?
Cool. A bear god.
Am I wrong? 20 is the highest.
It's all impossible. Yeah. Well, for certain classes, when you get to like really high levels, you can.
This
like
is a level 5.
I know. I'm saying this. It is impossible. Yes.
Yeah, it's a level 5.
They're fully cheating.
Okay. Right, wait. Right. Let's hear the explanation.
Let's get to the bottom.
I was shocked as this had never come up, as he was typically in wild shape during combat using creature stats. I ended up subtracting 10 from his con, dex, and strength and let him shuffle those stats around as he please, deeming those stats still good but more balanced. Mm-hmm. The player protested heavily, stating that everyone else's stats were better than his, causing the rest of the players to turn on him.
What?
The worst part was, with his new dex, the attack that had missed with an AC of 20 now hit, knocking his character out and causing the player to become visibly upset and accused me of punishing him for not understanding the game. This was session 22 of our third campaign. Was I wrong for handling this mid-combat in front of the rest of the party? Was there another solution rather than axing his stats right then and there? I humbly lay myself at the mercy of the court.
This is just for all DMs. You gotta take a little peek at your players' character sheets before you begin.
Especially if you're playing online. I think
especially
like
with first-timers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. I think that... Here's the deal.
Guys,
they were straight up either cheating or had a wild misunderstanding of the game.
What do we think the misunderstanding was? Maybe they were being like super generous.
Maybe they didn't drop the...
Yeah, maybe instead of being like roll four, drop one, maybe they were doing the super generous thing of roll five, drop two, but this person just rolled five.
A theory that is also partially a Dice Christ confession, which is that I did not understand how proficiency worked for like basically the first arc of our campaign.
We know. I'm just kidding.
I don't think I did either.
So I think there's maybe a chance that they added their proficiency to their constitution stat. So like it's baked into that number.
Level five is level 5 plus 3 or plus 2 proficiency.
But still, that doesn't
level 5. That'd still be like plus.
You'd still have
two,
to like plug in those numbers though.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it seems like it has to be a mistake because the player got so mad. I feel like if you get caught cheating, you're like, I'm caught.
Right.
No. I feel like the anger makes it seem more like cheating.
Yeah. Right. You think they're trying to
because if
their
I
way
genuinely
out.
Did something wrong and then. And someone was like, how do you have this high of stats? I would be like, oh, well, I rolled 2d20s and added it. Is that not how you do stats?
Yeah.
And then they said, no, that's insane. I would be like, haha, that's so funny. I don't know where I came up with that.
Let's take this person at their word and think that they did it by accident. Feasibly, they could have done it. What was the highest stat, Jake?
26.
I believe it was 26 for dex.
You'd have to roll 4 sixes and have a plus 2 modifier to get anything.
Their lowest was charisma at 17. So,
but that's so cartoonish that if you're going to cheat, like they must have just fully
that's
done
why I think it has to be a mistake.
Thing. Yeah.
Like, they also, on roll 20, and they're like, let me see your character sheet. If you had cheated that bad, wouldn't you not
just
show
like,
the character sheet?
Yeah, quickly change
Wait,
it.
Wait, you're right. If you rolled 4 sixes, then you could have
20.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Oh, if you did.
And then you had a modifier of plus two, but mm-hmm. I don't think this person. There's
if
no,
someone said roll four, drop one, and they didn't know what to drop and they just rolled four.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Then they might roll but 24.
But that's still the odds Which of them rolling all sixes. I think it's yeah. more likely that they just used a different system that they didn't understand.
I'm trying to think of how to salvage this situation. I don't know why.
Roll new stats. I think that's the only way to do it.
So, yes. So here is where I. So this person is either completely misunderstood the game.
I really want to know not understanding what they the game. Did.
Or cheated. So I think that's not your fault. You probably could have checked out the paper, but it's also not on the DM. Is ultimately there to play as well. It's not yeah. on them to do. Like, they've got enough homework. Players got to kind of keep their corner of the table tidy.
Argument for them not cheating is the fact that they did stick to using the wild shape stats.
Oh,
yeah.
Though usually
but they must have been sitting there being like, "Why are all these animals so fucking weak? I have so much dex."
I'm a fucking god.
Why is this monkey only has
more,
like 14 decks?
So much HP.
I have 26. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so they're either cheating or they really misunderstood the game. I do think that just taking, although
I do agree
taking
that,
10 away from just a bunch of them is a little bit of a sloppy way to do it.
Yeah,
I think just been that like, might be why.
Reroll your stats.
Yeah.
I think they would have gotten equally mad at that, though, because like that's putting them on a pedestal of shame a little bit, being like, all right, we're going to take a break and you're going to reroll your stats. Like,
yeah, I think in the middle of combat, though, maybe the answer would have just been like, okay, what is the highest possible number you could have gotten?
Yeah.
Like, you could have gotten an 18 like, on your rolls.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a bear folk probably isn't going to get plus to dex, so 18. So we'll say your AC is...
That is a good call that, like, maybe for the sake of combat, you should have just... been like, cool, footnote, let's talk about this later. We're gonna revisit this. We finish out combat. It's mm-hmm. insane. And then at the end, although if I were another player, I think I would be laughing so hard.
It would kind of just be
they
like,
said all of the other players turned on him.
I think that's why the player got so mad, is because they were clearly getting razzed by everyone else.
Yeah.
And we're not taking it well.
You know what, though? With leather armor... No. It's studded leather armor that has a max of... that you can only add two to your whatever.
I have zero clue.
This person has such high dex
that... I just equip it and let D&D Beyond tell me what I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that it was a little sloppy to just... subtract 10 from everything. You probably could have just been like, let's just say your AC is, let's be very kind and say it's 17 or 18 for now, put a pin in it and have you reroll stats later. Would have probably been the best way to do it, but this person so egregiously cheated that we're going to rule with you, right?
Absolutely,
we're ruling with the DM. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's fair for you to treat this however you want, given the breach of conduct. And for future cases, I feel like putting a pin in it and coming back to it is always better than like dressing someone down.
Coming
in
front up with
or taking the temperature of the room. Because if I'm at that table and assuming we're friends, we probably all have a laugh about it. And then there's a fun, all right, let's reroll real stats.
It
now.
Also doesn't take that long to reroll stats. Like people take real long turns sometimes.
It's just
on your turn, you reroll all your stats. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
It's also so funny though of this person to get mad that then they're weaker than everyone else because they literally had 22 sessions of being statted better than any D&D character I've ever played. I've never played.
But I think that's why there's
anything
a little bit of a flaw
like
to the minus 10 idea. Because then you take this, let's say this player just had a huge misunderstanding of how the game worked, which they might because they did send their Dex 26 paper to the sheet to their DM. So they may have just been innocent and not known the game. It does suck to because you didn't understand the game, suddenly having your character be a lot worse than they would have been.
Yeah.
The easiest thing has just been like, let's put you all on even playing field. These other characters rolled their stats. You roll your stats. Let's do this correctly.
Didn't we find out at a live show that Hard One had rolled his AC incorrectly?
Yes.
How do we handle that? There's precedent here.
I think we laugh.
We laughed.
Yeah, I think the precedent.
Everyone laughed at me.
The precedent is having a good time.
You said your AC. I think you said your AC was like 22, and I laughed and said, "No, it's not." And we lowered it and moved on.
Yeah,
so there
but it was 21. Just so everybody at home 20. Knows,
because I think Hard One had gotten a new fighting style. later, but we de-level for live shows. So I think like whatever level he got, he maybe added defense.
Yeah.
But it was like
he shouldn't have had it at the live show.
Right. It was an honest mistake. And I didn't yell at Murph when he told me to get rid of it.
Yeah. He only pouted backstage afterwards, which I think is the mature response.
You grabbed me and threw me up against the wall, but you didn't yell at me.
Yeah. I kicked over a trash can.
You menacingly said, don't do that in front of anyone ever again.
Right. Well, everyone remembers the show in Brisbane where everybody came out for like 10 minutes and I sulked backstage. until you finally coaxed me on like a scared kitten.
Yeah, we all got a little finger under your armpit and you warmed up after that.
Very nice.
All right, so I think we need to...
I think we sentenced the person with 26, 23, all those crazy stats.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Feels so right. we have to, sentence the player.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe they just need to play a commoner for a while. Although that's kind of...
You don't like minus 10 to all stats? How about actual minus 10 to all stats? Your character's dead.
I need to stop pitching it, but every time someone asks me to do something, I'm always like, I just throw it out there. I would play a commoner.
Like just 10s across the board.
I could just play a commoner. Wouldn't that be kind of funny?
Yeah.
It kind of would.
Surprisingly, no one's taken me up on it yet.
You also...
I work at a car wash.
I feel like I've heard you say before, I just know all the spells. It's hard to pick new ones. The idea of you being entertained, just being like, you don't know how to do anything, it's hard to imagine. But
Just sounds kind of fun, you know, to have nothing.
Yeah, so I guess, this bear can have fun wild shaping into a nondescript NPC with +0 to everything.
You work at the tavern now. You clean the toilets.
Yeah.
Ooh, you could have some sort of anti-druidic. Okay, you're not going to do this. Again, this is a bad suggestion. But in order to have them have to be a commoner for 3 sessions, you have some sort of super zealous religious sect that's against nature and druids. And they like throw some iron binding chain onto them. They have... commoner stats until they release themselves.
That's
penitent
cool.
bindings. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I mean, we could also just like
you have to throw a basketball, some Jell-O.
in your
living room.
Dribble your basketball in their Jell-O.
That's yes.
Good. You know, I think that was where basketball went wrong. Is initially it was like peach baskets up there, and like then they put holes in the bottom of the peach baskets. They should have kept them baskets, just filled them up with Jell-O. It'd be a real satisfying
peach
splorch.
Jell-O. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Peach Jell-O. Every time you get a dunk.
Yeah.
You slam dunk, or like you go in and then you get like a little scoop of Jell-O as your reward for your dunk.
I'm just picturing the driveway just covered in Jell-O from everyone going out and playing horse.
That's actually pretty smart, dude. I bet they would have to pay basketball players a lot less money if it was Jell-O, because everyone would enjoy playing so much.
Well, we've sort of explored this in the movie Flubber.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Basketball. But you can't played heavily into Flubber, right?
You can't eat the Flubber, though. Somebody eats Flubber in the movie, I think the villain does, and he farts so hard that it goes through his pants.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. So, like, be careful.
It's been a while since I've seen Flubber.
What?
Don't eat your dice. Don't eat Flubber, folks.
Did the
I didn't know that. This is a really important thing we need to be sharing with people. Right.
Don't eat Flubber.
We need to be getting this out there.
All right, guys. Spoilers. The bad guy eats Flubber and farts. Why would he eat it?
He's yelling at Robin
and then
Williams.
Flubber
I think.
Jumps into, because Flubber's a little
Flubber
mischievous.
Flubber is a bouncy little mischievous fellow.
Yeah. Why does, because Robin Williams does not.
Wait. Flubber is sentient?
Yeah, he's a little guy. He's kind of fun. He's kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
He's for sure a little guy. But Flubber, and again, this is one of the most entertaining things about our show is us trying to remember movies that we saw 30 years ago.
Yeah. Everyone loves Flubber talk.
If I remember, let's get into the Flubber corner.
Yeah.
Robin Williams.
The Flubber foyer.
Does not play a basketball player.
No.
He's a scientist who invents Flubber. Why does he play basketball in the movie?
Because he works for the college.
I thought he just goes to the game.
No, he works for the college that the basketball players are playing for, and they're really bad. And I think maybe it's like...
Does he put it on their shoes?
He puts it on their shoes.
Sure puts it on
Holy
their shoes.
Holy shit.
Does Robin Williams not dunk at some point in that movie, though?
Maybe like
probably
during...
He's probably doing some kind of test, I bet.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, he's like showing
you nailed
him.
It. We nailed Flubber.
Have you seen this movie? Or are you just like writing this on the spot?
I'm just assuming.
Holy shit.
And that's where I would put it.
You could write Flubber too.
Because you can't put Flubber on the ball to give them an advantage because everyone touches the
ball.
What can you control?
On your
shoes? Can control their shoes.
But they did put it on their palms of their hands so they could dribble really fast.
Really?
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Murph, can we have Flubber in our game?
Of course.
Also, I just feel like it's such a classic movie moment. Robin Williams, is he in the movie you're saying?
Of course. He's the scientist who creates Flubber.
Okay. So again, I'm here. Hearing all this, I assumed that the guy in Flubber was Bill Pullman. So I definitely didn't see the movie because I was thinking of Bill Pullman.
Okay.
But Robin Williams, you're assuming he's working late at the
college.
At the college. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can see him being like, let me give this a shot, and then dunking, but all by himself.
Yeah.
And like, kind of like an empty. That feels like a cinematic moment.
Yeah. There's a chance maybe his love interest is there, or it might just be his little robot pal. There's a lot of little pals in this
movie.
There's a robot.
Flubber?
Yeah.
I don't remember Robot. This is.
I don't remember Flubber. I mean, I remember I kind of remember the basketball scene.
I think you're all criminal for not remembering.
It wasn't all about
Flubber.
Basketball, right? It was about something else.
Well, he puts Flubber in his car, too, and his car can fly. So it's. I mean, it's about. I would say that Flubber.
It's about Flubber.
It's about Flubber.
It's about Flubber
about a man discovering a.
Discovering Flubber.
Yeah, an alternate power source.
Flubber,
yeah.
An alternate power there's, source.
Robin Williams creates a utopia in this film.
There's a lot of different sort of storytelling archetypes, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's man versus himself.
Right.
There's man versus
nature.
Uh-huh. Then, of course, there's man versus Flubber.
Yeah.
And
And then there's Flubber versus man.
And then Flubber versus man.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of why Flubber made that guy fart.
Exactly.
Anyway,
okay.
Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, his anus is ruined.
Let's do a Dice Christ confession, shall we? And if you got a Flubber one, Jake, throw that up there.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, shit. There were a couple Flubber ones, but I didn't choose them initially.
Let me go back. Weird, yeah.
People are going to be so mad at us for this episode.
They're going to be mad because Anchorman, but we love Flubber.
People only get. The thing is, I didn't say anything bad about Anchorman. I said I made
Yeah, but you said, but you say such glowing stuff about Flubber. You say such glowing stuff about the Flintstones.
Jake, you make a really good point, actually. You make a really good point.
If someone wanted to name their character Flubber, though, I would make fun of them. And then I'd get attacked by the Flubber stands.
Including
like,
us. Flubber,
but you have to understand that I love Flubber. And I think Anchorman is probably fine. I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a really long time. Just please stop at me.
Eat Flubber, you dick.
I can't. It'll make me fart. Go on.
Arwin R. writes, "Forgive me, emissaries of Dice Christ, for I have sinned.
Would you mind, just since we were talking about Flubber, would you mind anything that starts with an F? Will you add an L so it's forgive me?
That's
yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Of course. Forgive me, emissaries of Dice Christ, Flora, I have sinned. May Dice Christ have mercy on my soul. I was playing as a druid, and our party was placed with an underwater tunnel that some of the party did not have enough constitution to swim through without drowning. Okay. I wild-shaped into a giant octopus and wrapped them in my tentacles and used my swim speed to get everyone through, much to the DM's delight. 20 minutes later, I realized that the challenge rating of a giant octopus was too high for me to be fleasible.
Oh.
I immediately dropped my wild shape so I wouldn't benefit from it any longer. But my sin is that I kept quiet and did not tell the DM because I felt like too much time had passed to undo it. Was I wrong to not confess to my mistake to the DM? I humbly await your judgment in the eyes of Dice Christ.
Look, much like the main character in Flubber,
It
probably wasn't legal to use Flubber in the basketball game. Like if the if the
I was thinking that as you guys were telling
about
that
Flubber,
That was cheating.
That was cheating.
Fully cheating.
Yeah. They cheated. The scientists cheated in that movie.
You could easily do.
But it was fun.
You could easily do a sports movie about the team that went up against them.
An octopus. Yeah.
And I was talking about Flubber.
Sorry. You do not know how many times I have to apologize in my day-to-day. Sorry, I was thinking about Flubber.
I'm so sorry. I was actually talking about Flubber. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
This is me at my therapist.
Someone tells you a story
telling
and you say that's so
story.
Funny. And you're looking past them and you just shake your head and go, sorry, I was thinking about Flubber.
I actually like that this person is like, They know they realize they were wrong. They know that that's not the infraction. Right. And that's not the infraction. The infraction is you didn't tell the DM.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It's never too late to tell him. Why not tell him now?
I think
you didn't repeat it again. So you learned from it. You adjusted your behavior.
This is something that happens to everybody. And the fact that it sounds like your DM, that you have a good DM because they were happy that you all solved the puzzle. Like there are DMs that would have just been like, wait, no, there's a wall that your octopus can't get by or something like
that. You're a paladin now.
Yeah, you have to take a paladin level. You were near a church.
Yeah.
So I don't think your DM would have been mad. That happens literally. It has happened on our recorded show that we edit that we have gotten abilities and stuff wrong before. So this is all very normal. I think in the future, if you want to fess up, it's fine. Again, this is the flubber rule. Mm-hmm. You can admit to having used flubber because
you're going to make the world better.
Yeah. Ain't nothing in the rule book says you can't use flubber.
The most important thing is that you didn't do it in the future. That's the real accountability. So you didn't even hurt anyone's feelings. It's not like you owe anyone an apology.
Yeah.
So you're fine. You're fine. You're doing it.
Yeah. In the future, you can fess up. Everybody makes mistakes with these.
But you don't like have to like apologize to them or whatever. You know, I'm not going to make you do that.
Right. No. Yeah.
You wrote in our show. We absolve you. You are
absolved.
Yeah. You're good.
Dice
Christ judges you based on how you have changed going forward after that mistake.
Right.
And you did.
Yeah.
Assuming you aren't still doing it.
And I would imagine if Flubber 2 were to have happened, they probably would have just gotten better at basketball having been inspired by Flubber as opposed to using the Flubber. So think of the octopus as Flubber.
That's a really good scene, right? Watching those college athletes having to play a game without Flubber.
Yeah.
And then realizing our skills have atrophied. We got too dependent on Flubber. Let's get back. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the court. Let's practice again.
But you need Flubber for a little bit, right? Because you have Flubber there, becomes like a D1 team. You start recruiting. You get better players.
Flubber
to your
gives
school.
You the confidence.
No.
Yeah.
Right. Here's what happens.
Flubber gives you the reputation. Not even the confidence.
This school are the villains of another sports movie.
Yeah, and then you have a movie in a few years.
Obviously, they get kicked out of the league. They're in an outlaw outcast league, and who do they come up against? The fucking Air Bud team. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Air Bud or Flubber?
Air Bud has Flubber on his paws.
Oh, shit. Everyone's got Flubber.
Could you imagine?
It's the Flubber League. That's Flubber 2, folks.
I'm a Flubber.
Combined Air Bud 4, Flubber 2.
Wow.
Because there was, how many Air Buds were there?
Sequels,
so talk about this.
Finally, the sequel to movies I haven't seen.
Yeah, well, it'd be like a threequel for, I think there were so many Air Buds because there was Air Bud, there was Air Bud 2 Golden Receiver.
Sure.
Where he played football.
Yeah, he played baseball in one.
Did he really?
Probably.
I know there was Air Buddies where Air Bud had babies.
Yeah.
And there were puppies that played basketball, I believe.
Yeah, they played all sorts of sports.
That's a lot. Let them be children.
That's a lot.
Yeah. They just want to go to the park.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Air Bud 4 / Flubber 2 over on the short rest where we'll do some bonus cases. Thank you all so much for listening. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Check out Flubber and of course, The Absent-Minded Professor, which is the original movie that Flubber was based on. And then after that, you're going to want to check out Son of Flubber, which is the actual sequel to Flubber.
Is there a sequel to Flubber?
Yeah, it's from like the 1950s, I think.
Oh, okay. So, so they didn't remake the sequel.
There are three Flubber movies. Okay. There's Absent-Minded Professor.
Great.
Is Absent-Minded Professor or Nutty Professor? Shit, hold on. I'm too deep in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, you know what? We don't have to look this up at all. We can be confidently wrong about Flubber.
You know what? We don't have time and it doesn't matter. So let's...
Flubber may or may not be based on another movie. We don't know. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter. You can check out our after show for some bonus cases over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Don't do it.
Where we will surely be talking about Flubber and Air Bud more. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At CSPersMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at EXFords Emily, and at Jake Gertz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are youth of a nation. We are youth of a nation.
Dungeon, 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 dung dungeon, 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 dungeon.
It's the end of the show, and you know what that means? We simply gotta shout out them Katsula elders, starting with Brad D, Jeff S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Al, Daniel G, Claudor's twin brother Baldur, who is a half an inch taller, Dungeon Mama, not sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, Balnor's boy, Hoyd's friend, Justin I, Ragnar Ferdwin, TJ M, Trele the Crayfay, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Murph refusing to objectify the orange fairy in the top. That is a lightning fast edit. I am shocked. Princess Yar, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, currently starring in the film adaptation of Ulfgar Ghost Punch, Samuel B, Mike H, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Druid, Heratrian, Rex Daniel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana Delos Lopez, CC Lulu, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Calculated, Cunning Climactic, Clever Crescendo, Ultras, Hashtag Can't Come Cold, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Steven C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick Wolf, Esme M, Foster, the Boneless Duck, William Wall, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud, Ananarama, Percival Fredriksen von Musel Klausowski de Rolo the Third, Item the Simple Dimples, J Dragonborn, Vincent Make Her Thrum First D, The Sandrian, Ben A, Veldonis, Dave H, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfire's assistant Izzy F, DPC is awesome, Summer Rose Grantaire, Marky Mark the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsley, Mies of House and Zunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, Velaciraptor, B, Perky Hallways, Pat L, Savexel, Achutha A, Lauren H, Talia, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, Robit Crisp, Ball Business Illustrator. You know, this is a weird one. I'd like to see Pendergreens as a contestant on The Bachelor. Thank you. Ploops, Carly A, Addy K, Connor Savage, Christopher J, Pebblepot, to my do-writers, my first, never mind, we died, I'm a turtle now, Salil, Jack M, Leviathan, BioQuirt7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Sydney T, Jack Huber, Krebster, Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Toward Tomorrow, Fander A, She-Wolf of Winter, Queen of the Bone Perch, Lady of War, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Harry Cox, Noah, the Bagel of All Things, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Dandy, Eric B, Marcos P, Cornt, hopes you're having an amazing day. Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pogos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed Fae, Prince Tracy Bree, The Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, Leah C, Paige H, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash the Car, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore
Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Monster Hunter Neos, the restless spirit of Simon, Ouija boarding a message for Meg the mail carrier to send the elders and the heroes of Bohemia, Keychains, Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the succubus, and Kyra her bestie queen, your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle Andrew and Sid, John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, requesting a signature on a revivify letter addressed to Simon he said that you would sign. James F., M4L, Wayfarer has now settled into their new life in the Fey Realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Andrew B., Barpo, good barrel, barbarian, and brewer emeritus of Waterdeep, Mary Beth C., Malora devotee, Welshlinder, Garrett G., one big curd, Mr. D., Dana Daisy, Sean J., Ethan B., Renee, the monster captain, Gabrielle W., Hopes, Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be directing an even cooler puppet show for the duck team. Thank you, we need your help. Winter Slade, Michaela R., Forrest H., aka Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, your boy Anthony who moved positions and can't listen to podcasts at work anymore, Josh H., Jack Rain, Mango Empanadas, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of #CCC, Alex R., Bunker Master and Player Disaster, Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian, MJ, the BFG, drinking tea by the sea, Dogs of Babel, Calvia Silverfang, Gino T, Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, Faunir, Dr. Tulkus, Bow Chicka Wow Wow. And I'm reading those wows as an acronym for World of Warcraft, just, you know, Bow Chicka, World of Warcraft, World of Warcraft. Derek D, Tristan G, Dungeon Bailiff Tucker, that's right, Jake, first your wife, now your job, Jazzman and Fam, the surgeons behind Pendergreen's juicy new ass, Alex K, Joshua P, Joshua Paul S, Martin T, Alexande, Linz W, Mandy K, Emma S, Red, the Reforged, Warforged, James, Mr. Kraft, Hammy Beverly's Distant Cousin, The Godly King, Hunter W., Sedge of Raven King, chilled with Hard One in the Astral Plane, taught Hard One all of his Raven knowledge. Thank you so much for that. I truly can't wait for us to see it come into play. And finally, Hurricane Dave, the bellowing bullywog bard of Bohemia. Thank you all so much. You make this show possible. We love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.